Good morning and welcome to the annual investor presentation for the year to March 2025 for Tideway. Presenting today is Matthew Duncan. I'm the CFO for Tideway. Alongside me is Alina Beale, who is the Head of Treasury, and Roger Bailey, who is the Chief Technical Officer. As is usual, there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the presentation. We're using a different system this time. The process is if you could raise your hand when we get to the end of the presentation if you have a question, and we can make sure that we can activate your particular login, and that will then mean you can unmute and ask your question. Equally as well, for those that would prefer, you can send questions through after the meeting through the usual forums. Lastly, just to remind everybody, this presentation will be recorded and will be deposited on our website approximately about 24 hours after this meeting. Okay, we go to the next slide, please. Just to set the scene, I'm assuming most of you are very familiar with Tideway, and we'll give a quick overview of where we are at the moment and provide an update on some of the key areas. We'll provide a quick update as well on the delivery, which is obviously of much less scale and size than we have had in previous years. Also, as well, we'll provide you with some of the key stats in terms of the sustainable finance and some of the financial ratios. Next slide. Okay, just to provide a quick overview in terms of where we sat for the last 6 months up to March. Again, reminding people, this is reporting up to March 2025. We've been obviously in system activation actually for quite some time, and really effectively from February 2025 when all of the actual sites were connected. As we have mentioned, hopefully most are aware that we've been collecting sewage for, again, really from that point onwards, and we're roughly about 7 million tons, or slightly better than that. We're well in the testing phase, and we are still aiming for handover by the second half of 2025. The EAC sits at 4.6 billion, and that's a relatively minor increase from that reported at March 2024. As has been confirmed, our credit ratings remain unchanged with both Fitch and also Moody's. As I said, referencing just broadly some of the bullet points below, all the sites have been connected, and the tunnel has actually been intercepting flows even prior to February 2025. Another point, just going to the second last bullet point, we are still very comfortable with achieving the planned system acceptance date of August 2027, which is obviously stipulated in our license. On the last point, as at March 2025, our liquidity horizon was 21 months. This has improved recently, obviously, with the recent bond issue. Our net debt to RCV sat at 68%, and the interest cover ratio sat at 5.8 times. There were no major injuries during the period or significant incidents during the financial year. As a result, we are very pleased to be able to state that we had no 3 or 7-day absences in the 2024-2025 period. We continue, even at this late stage, to deliver very targeted health and safety education and support, which obviously isn't of the scale that we used to have in previous years, but that focus is consistent and will continue right through to the very end. A key point for the project as a whole is maintaining the focus on mental health, and that's been a strong focus all the way through the program. And we recently introduced a new health and safety performance index measure, particularly as we, you know, teams are being pushed to close off and do sort of the final sort of knockings to in preparation for handover. We completed 5 out of the 54 legacy commitments in 24-25, which then means that we've completed a total of 43, or basically 80% out of our total commitments. By the time we get to handover towards the end of this calendar year, we expect to have completed a further 7. And lastly, it's worth, you know, we're at that very pleasing stage that, you know, we've, during the year, we formally opened a number of other sites during the course of the year, including King George's Park, Falconbrook Pumping Station, and Carmworth Road. So you're really starting to see the physical manifestation of what we've actually been working on the last 7 or 8 years. If I then go to the next slide. On the regulatory update and interfaces with Thames Water, it is worth noting that Ofwat published its PR24 final determination, which is in December 24, and that does not apply to Tideway. The within that final determination, particularly if we reference Thames, there is an inclusion of an incentive for Thames to support, particularly Tideway, in the delivery of the system acceptance. So that is part of one of the incentives for Thames Water in their determination. On the second bullet point, Tideway continues to monitor the impact of Thames Water's corporate position, and as I'm very comfortable to say that there has been no impact on our revenue, certainly up to date. The Water Special Measures Act became law in February 2025, and it's worth noting that that does not apply to Tideway. Equally, we have been actively engaged on the Independent Water Commission's review of the sector, and the expectations are that that will be published, we say here in mid-25, but I think we are expecting that it should be issued before the end of this month. Lastly, that last fourth bullet point there is worth noting that there were some complications with the with recent changes in the license and also in the SAR legislation. Both were mistakes or errors made, and both will be corrected in due course, and have had really no impact on us at all. I'm going to pass on to Roger to continue on.
Thank you, Matthew. Yeah, Thames Water is obviously integral to the successful commissioning of the London Tideway Tunnel system, and a collaborative approach between ourselves, our contracting organisations, and Thames Water has been successfully maintained through 24-25. And as Matthew said, we started activations actually in August, and we completed all of that in February, and then moved into the storm testing phase after that. As we sort of pushed towards handover to Thames as the operator, we continue to lead regular sessions with them, with the Environment Agency, with Ofwat, and with DEFRA. And we're maintaining a good collective engagement and driving the closure of remaining sort of activities. And looking ahead to handover, we've introduced a fortnightly countdown to handover joint review with Thames Water to review progress on deliverables needed, drive the closure of faults and outstanding certifications, of which there is a lot, and agree mitigations sort of as required. I can go to the next slide, thank you. So I'm just for those who may be coming to one of these for the first time or whatever, I'll just briefly go over. That's the tunnel route from one side of London to the other, 25 kilometres long, 7.2 metres wide, most of it, 30 metres deep in the west, in I-1 in Acton, and Site 23, Abbey Mills, down to 66 metres deep. Falling at a gradient, it's one of the deepest tunnels in London, falls at a gradient of about 1 in 800, which means it should be self-cleansing for siltation. It's protecting the tidal Thames now. It has been protecting it fully since the 5th of February. And there's already so a lot of anecdotal and other evidence now of the benefits of that cleaning up of the river that's happening. Next slide, please. So obviously we are in the middle of the commissioning phase, which is a systematic program of work to bring the system online. As we said, there are 20 more connections which have been completed after the initial connection to the Lee Tunnel. Sites were collected in February. We're intercepting flows, expected to achieve handover the second half of 2025. As Matthew said, we've diverted over 7.1 million cubic metres or tonnes of sewage into the River Thames so far. We're now, as the financial year ended, moving to a more structured testing phase where the completed system is being tested in different weather conditions, initially at partial capacity and then at full capacity. And then following the completion of storm testing, a targeted inspection of the tunnel will be carried out as part of the construction assurance process. On the timeline at the bottom there, we're in the storm testing half tunnel phase. We have been waiting for the weather for storm test one since the 9th of April, when we were all in full readiness for that. And we're expecting that will happen pretty soon. Obviously, there's been a bit of a delay there because of the very dry weather that the UK has been having, and that's obviously affected us. Once the inspection and other requirements have been completed and the handover criteria satisfied, we'll be issuing a notice to Thames Water, who will then issue the handover certificate to record that, and then that signifies the start of the acceptance period. Level of conformance and rework in respect of the project is still at a satisfactory level, with no critical defects being reported. As is common in tunnels, we have experienced some infiltration of groundwater into some sections of our tunnels. Independent assessments have confirmed that the levels of infiltration and associated potential exfiltration expected in service are unlikely to have any adverse environmental, structural or durability impact, and we're monitoring this as we go through commissioning. So physical works are completed at all sites, except in a few locations where certain works not directly associated with the tunnel or its operation have been delayed, primarily due to delays in obtaining consents from the PLA. These outstanding works aren't expected to delay our handover. We're at the end of the commissioning stage. Heavy construction is pretty much over, apart from some marine works, and so most of the high impact, low probability risks have been retired. As works completed at sites, hoardings are being removed, spaces are being opened to the public, showcasing public art. And we were very delighted to host the King on the 7th of May to our site at Blackfriars, where he was able to commemorate the project nearing completion. As construction at individual sites is completed, land parcels, which were temporarily acquired to facilitate construction, are being progressively returned to landowners, and 20 out of 87 land parcels were handed back as of April. Project costs for the 6-month period, 160 million, taking capitalised costs for the year to at the year end to 5.775 million, sorry. And the cost estimate is currently 4.6 billion, which is a 1% increase from last year. And that's as a result of the impact of delays due to the river works and related consents in the central contract, conclusion of commercial discussions with some of our contractors, and forecasting of higher indirect costs to a certain extent due to the elongation of the programme. The main works contractors' target prices have been adjusted to reflect compensation events through the year. With the achievement of key milestones during the year, the programme is commercially well placed, and the focus now looks forward to handover and completion with good alignment across our alliance contractors.
Okay, I will cover this slide. So the numbers on this slide are at the close of the financial year. At 31st of March, our total liquidity was 410 million, comprising 250 million in outstanding cash and 160 million RCF, which remains undrawn. So this provided 21 months of liquidity, in excess of our 12-month target, and it was sufficient to cover our cash requirements to hand over and beyond. We raised 3.3 billion of long-term debt, 3.7 billion in credit accretion. But since year-end, we updated our prospectus. It was published in June, and in July, we issued a 250 million eight-year public blue bond, making us the first corporates to issue a blue bond in sterling. So in terms of green debt issuance, we have 18 green bonds, totaling 1.8 billion issued previously, and this blue bond for 250 million. 325 million of green US private placements, and the RCF, which is structured as a sustainability linked loan. As part of the latest debt issuance, S&P Global Ratings provide an updated second party opinion on our sustainable finance framework and confirmed its dark green status. During the second half of the year, we paid 26.2 million in distributions, and the shareholder loan balance currently stands at 972.6 million. As previously mentioned, our credit ratings were recently affirmed at Ba1 by Moody's and BBB plus by Fitch, both with a stable outlook. Our credit metrics remain healthy. Gearing, as shown on the slide, as at the end of the year, was 68%, below the covenant triple level of 70%, and our interest cover ratio was at 5.8 times, well above the covenant triple level of 1.3 times. And in terms of our reporting on our sustainable financing, it's now included in the annual report, a separate section that covers the allocation of proceeds, the compliance with the agreed KPI in case of the sustainability linked loan, and also the impact of the project. And my final point on this slide is that we have published an ESG data book. It's available on our website. For anyone interested in our ESG performance, the information is there.
Thank you, Alina. Just to confirm some of the information that we've previously just talked about, I'm happy to confirm that the senior gearing ratio sat at 68% at the test period, which is obviously to March 2025. The interest cover ratio in respect of the relevant test period was equal to 5.79 times. Whilst the average interest cover ratio in respect of the test period sat at around 3.95 times. I'm happy to confirm that the ratio has been calculated in respect of the test periods and at the test dates, but which is required as calculated under the CTO. Next page, please. Lastly, it's worth noting that there's been no significant management or board changes in the second half of 24-25, although it is probably worth noting that we did have a number of key changes in the first half of the year, which were notified in our half-year results. And that's particularly just significant given as we start to transition from an organisation into peak delivery, peak construction delivery, into moving into an organisation that's moving into an operation phase. Acquisitions and disposals. In May 2025, it was announced that Royal London had entered into an agreement to acquire Dalmore Capital, which is one of our shareholders. Following completion, the ownership of Dalmore Capital will transfer to Royal London Asset Management. Lastly, as the company and the Tiber Tunnel transitions from construction to operation, there will be a point when the company ceases to capitalise costs into the asset under construction, and that will subsequently be converted into other non-current assets in the company's statement of financial position. Okay, that there ends the formal presentation. And we will now open up and see if there's any questions. Again, just to remind everyone, if you could put up your raise your hand first, and then we can activate you, and then you should be able to unmute yourself. Okay, I'll give it another 20 seconds or so if there's no further questions. Well, I think we'll leave it at that then. Thank you very much again for taking the time to listen to our usual annual investor presentation. I appreciate the time that you've taken to listen into the call. And as I said at the start, this presentation will be available on our website. And lastly, if there are any questions which you may have, which you would like to raise, but not here, but through the usual forums, then please don't hesitate to contact anyone within the team, in the Treasury team, and we can make sure that that can be answered quickly. Again, thank you very much, and speak to you soon. See you then.
Thank you.
Thank you.